3 Years by Anton Chekhov. Chapter 1 It was dark, and already lights had begun to gleam here and there in the houses, and a pale moon was rising behind the barracks at the end of the street. Laptev was sitting on a bench by the gate, waiting for the end of the evening service at the Church of St. Peter and St. Paul. He was reckoning that Yulia Sergeyevna would pass by on her way from the service, and then he would speak to her, and perhaps spend the whole evening with her. He had been sitting there for an hour and a half already, and all that time his imagination had been busy picturing his Moscow rooms, his Moscow friends, his man Pyotr, and his writing-table. He gazed half-wonderingly at the dark, motionless trees, and it seemed strange to him that he was living now not in his summer villa at Sokolniki, but in a provincial town in a house by which a great herd of cattle was driven every morning and evening, accompanied by terrible clouds of dust and the blowing of a horn. He thought of long conversations in which he had taken part quite lately in Moscow, conversations in which it had been maintained that one could live without love, that passionate love was an obsession, that finally there is no such love but only a physical attraction between the sexes, and so on in the same style. He remembered them and thought mournfully that if he were asked now what love was, he could not have found an answer. The service was over, the people began to appear. Laptev strained his eyes, gazing at the dark figures. The bishop had been driven by in his carriage, the bells had stopped ringing, and the red and green lights in the belfry were one after another extinguished. There had been an illumination, as it was dedication day. But the people were still coming out, lingering, talking, and standing still under the windows. But at last Laptev heard a familiar voice. His heart began beating violently, and he was overcome with despair on seeing that Yulia Sergeyevna was not alone, but walking with two ladies. "Oh, it's awful," he whispered, feeling jealous. "It's awful." At the corner of the lane, she stopped to say goodbye to the ladies, and while doing so, glanced at Laptev. "I was coming to see you," he said. "I'm coming for a chat with your father. Is he at home?" "Most likely," she answered. "It's early for him to have gone to the club." There were gardens all along the lane, and a row of lime trees growing by the fence cast a broad patch of shadow in the moonlight, so that the gate and the fences were completely plunged in darkness on one side, from which came the sounds of women whispering, smothered laughter, and someone playing softly on a balalaika. There was the fragrance of lime flowers and of hay. This fragrance and the murmur of the unseen whisperers worked upon Laptev. He was all at once overwhelmed with a passionate longing to throw his arms round his companion, to shower kisses on her face, her hands, her shoulders, to burst into sobs, to fall at her feet, and to tell her how long he had been waiting for her. A faint, scarcely perceptible scent of incense hung about her. And that scent reminded him of the time when he, too, believed in God and used to go to evening service, and when he used to dream so much of pure romantic love. And it seemed to him that, because this girl did not love him, all possibility of the happiness he had dreamed of then was lost to him forever. She began speaking sympathetically of the illness of his sister, Nina Fyodorovna. 2 months before, his sister had undergone an operation for cancer, and now everyone was expecting a return of the disease. "I went to see her this morning," said Yulia Sergeyevna, "and it seemed to me that during the last week she has not exactly grown thin, but has, as it were, faded." "Yes, yes," Laptev agreed. "There's no return of the symptoms, but every day I notice she grows weaker and weaker, and is wasting before my eyes. I don't understand what's the matter with her." "Oh, dear, and how strong she used to be, plump and rosy," said Yulia Sergeyevna, after a moment's silence. "Everyone here used to call her the Moscow lady. How she used to laugh. On holidays she used to dress up like a peasant girl, and it suited her so well." Dr. Sergei Borisovitch was at home. He was a stout, red-faced man, wearing a long coat that reached below his knees, and looking as though he had short legs. He was pacing up and down his study with his hands in his pockets and humming to himself in an undertone, "Roo, roo, roo, roo." His great whiskers looked unkempt.